Welcome into another episode of Sky Sports Playmakers. Today I'm joined by the Otago legend, a fellow battler himself, and a guy who's heading overseas very, very soon to chase another dream. That is Mikey Collins. Welcome on in, Mike. How
are
you,
Joey? Thank you, Joey. I'm good.
What have you been up to the last couple of weeks since Trans-Tasman's finished?
What are we doing? We had a few beers. We had a few beers that Saturday night, we've had lots of beers, to be honest. We had it with a team, and then that sort of dragged on a week, and then I got a whole bunch of mates back up home to Queenstown as a sort of farewell, I guess. Went around a couple of wineries up there, and then came up here. A couple of mates came up last week, so had a little dinner out that turned into beers, and then ready to fly off tomorrow.
Speaking of Queenstown, obviously disappointed firstly not to get the message to...
I probably shouldn't have said that.
I literally just lost my number or something.
Lost your number.
Fair enough. But Queenstown, that's where it all started for you. Born and bred in Queenstown, in the central Otago there. Tell me, as a young kid growing up in Queenstown, what do you do? What do you do there? Because obviously everyone sees it as the beautiful holiday destination it is, but not many people would know guys that are born and bred.
Yeah, I reckon Queenstown's different now than it was probably 20-odd years ago. Not that long, actually. 15 years ago when I was growing up. It was probably just before the stage it got real, real touristy. We could still sort of walk down the street from school to tennis and that sort of stuff now. And I don't know if you could do that as much now, but we were pretty lucky. There was like a core bunch of us at school and stuff. But I feel like there's so many kids and people there now, you probably don't have that little... small town feeling to an extent, but I think we probably got quite lucky with that. So yeah, we loved it. Played footy there in school there to about year 10, then sort of shot away because I guess the idea was that it wasn't the country and sort of thing. So unfortunately, the way sport is, I guess you sort of have to shoot to the bigger provinces to.
So year 10, you said?
Year 10, I left Otago Boys High
and boarded there.
Went to the hostel, so I missed all the bullying from year 9, 10, 11, whatever it is.
What happens in and year 9?
I don't know, mate. I wasn't there. I was just the one that got on the other foot on year 11 and 12 and 13. But I was lucky. You sort of meet a lot of people through playing rep footy because obviously Otago is such a spread out province that you travel for people from sort of Garston to Alexandra and Manitoba and Roxburgh and stuff. So you meet a whole lot of people, and quite often those people will be in the hostel. Yeah. So I was lucky. I had a couple of real good mates who were at the hostel already, and we sort of just, I was quite lucky to sort of seamlessly just be able to fit in there.
Hayden Parker was at Otago Boys Hostel as well. Did he come?
Nah, he's my brother's year. He left my first year. So if I went in year 9, I would have been there, but no. I would have got bullied by Quasi.
Thankfully not.
He would have been the worst one.
In terms of your rugby development through Otago Boys, well, firstly, probably from Waka Tip through to Otago Boys, was that a conversation because they saw what you were doing for Waka Tip that they wanted you to come join Otago Boys?
No, it wasn't. I think that's probably from an outside point of view, that's probably what people think happens. But to be honest, I think we probably always knew I was all right at rugby and stuff, and I think I probably obviously didn't understand the whole big picture, but my brother went there when I would have been about year 9, year 10, so he went to boarding school, and that was probably the first I ever thought of that's an option. And then I guess mum and dad probably saw a bigger picture, and they didn't put any pressure on at all. They were just like, here's an option, decide if you want to go or not. I sort of had a month and stuff, because I guess when you're 15, you're probably just sort of starting to discover the bad things in life sort of thing, and you're in a cool wee place and your friends, and obviously Queenstown's an unbelievable place. It was quite a big decision for me to say I wanted to leave, but especially sort of going from a co-ed school where you just sort of starting to like girls and then going to an all-boys hostel and stuff, it was quite a big call. So I guess I sort of realised that if I wanted to play sport a bit more seriously, that's where the doors open up.
And so in terms of your progression through Otago Boys to First 15, when did that start to eventuate? Because you obviously progressed pretty quickly.
Yeah, I was lucky. So it was in year 11. I went down there and I think we might have trialled. I might have been all right, but I definitely wouldn't have been a star or a starter or anything like that. And then a couple of the boys must have been in choir or something. And anyway, they went to one of the other schools, and they got in a big fight. So they got in a big scrap, and they got suspended for about 8 weeks, which means they couldn't play in the first 15, and they were guys in the same position. And they're awesome. They were great to me because they were in the hostel as well, and they looked after us. Awesome. Anyway, they might have actually been coming back for eighth form, but anyway, they got suspended, so it opened up this gap for me. And then I think I was playing 12 at that stage, and so I got thrown in there, and we played Southam boys down...
This was in year 10?
No, year 11. Year 11, so yeah. My first year in year 11.
Yeah.
Which at that stage was quite young. I guess there's probably a lot more year 11s now.
Yeah,
Especially I would have been probably half the skies and a skinny white boy. And we played Southam boys, I remember, down there, and I managed to get a couple of charge down tries that I actually knocked the ball on, but there wasn't any TVs back then because it was before all Sky was doing broadcasts. Yeah. So anyway, we won that game, and I guess that sort of probably like kick-started a wee bit of a chance to play a bit more, which was cool.
You love to hold on to the battler tag. And
you gave it to me before. I don't think I've said that at all.
Oh, so you're not?
No, I'm not.
But in terms of actually in high school, you were a bit of a gun, really. You were a bit of a high school superstar. Like, you were the only kid out of South Island in 2011 in your last year that made the secondary school's, New Zealand secondary school side. And then from there, obviously, you then get selected for Otago as a schoolboy.
Yeah, that was...
Surprised or...?
I was. I think we played... That was when they had that South Island secondary schools, and you played South Island, Hurricanes, Blues, and... must have been Chiefs. So all those four teams get together, and that was probably the first sort of step or first chance you get to see to play everyone else, especially coming from down south. You don't really play those big teams. So for me, that was a big stage, I guess. And then... I was lucky. I sort of, from that tournament, I got a guy. They sent a whole lot of recruiters from sort of everywhere, as you can imagine. And there was a guy from over in the Storm in Aussie that came there. And anyway, I guess they just get a whole lot of people over. If two of them out of 50 work, that's a success for them, sort of thing. So anyway, I managed to get over there.
To the storm,
and had a run around for a week and stuff, and it was awesome. And it was
what
sort
were
of.
They playing? What position were they playing?
No, it wasn't really like that. It was just like a. It wasn't a game or anything, it was just sort of go over there and see the facilities and do some tests and whatnot. But yeah, so they sort of were like, well, you can come here and go into the under-20s program that used to be there, which was obviously quite big at that stage because that was sort of like a feeder. And I spoke to Dad and a guy, Phil Mooney, who was coach of Otago at the time, maybe the year before. And I always wanted to play rugby, and I guess their thoughts were that if you want to play rugby, it's best to sort of play rugby. And I think at that stage, it was just before Otago went bankrupt, so they obviously had a bit of stuff to throw around. So then they were like, I think it might have been a 3-year gig or something, because I think they might have come under some scrutiny about losing local players too. So I don't necessarily think I would have been in Otago if that stuff hadn't happened, but because there was a wee bit of pressure on them, that sort of other avenue was potentially going to happen.
Yes.
So then they said, well, you can sort of have a 3-year contract. And because they went bankrupt, they had to get rid of a whole lot of players. They were paying heaps. So then they got a few of us who were paying peanuts, and it was good to go.
We'll come back to Otago, but I just want to touch on the Storm, that sort of experience for you. Was Craig Bellamy involved in that day or couple of days that you were over there? How does that actually work? You go in and they just sort of... They show you the facilities, testing-wise, what do they do?
They did, yeah. So they took you through the facilities. They did a running around this park sort of test. I can't remember what it was, but it was something like that, a basic fitness test. There are actually a few guys over there from the Christchurch earthquakes who they were bringing over as, not a feel-good story, but just, sort of giving them an opportunity to sort of... live and learn that too, to an extent. So there was sort of a mixture of everyone in there, and then the Warriors were playing the Storm that night. So I went and watched that, and then went to the sheds after, met Craig and stuff. I remember the first, it was something like, I think the Warriors almost might have won that or something. And met Craig, and obviously, he's obviously quite a big deal, and I was quite flustered at this stage.
The first
words I said to him was something about, do the boys not play in, Spriggs, because it looked like they were all slipping over or something. And as soon as I said it, I was like, you idiot.
And he ripped you,
he was nice as, but I was like, he's not going to offer you shit. it was cool to meet all those people and that sort of stuff, and... I think even Matt Duffy might have been over there at that stage. Obviously, I didn't know Duff, but
all that sort of stuff.
So it was cool. It definitely wasn't a we're here to sell you the dream sort of thing. Okay. It was more people just, I don't know, you know, as I said before, like they've got recruiters at those little tournaments. Yeah. They get 50 people over there. If two of them work and go well, then that's success for them.
So, yeah, back to the Otago experience. 2011, you make secondary schools. Then you make the Otago NPC side alongside some pretty big names in New Zealand rugby, Tom Donnelly, Adam Thompson, Ben Smith. For you as a schoolboy, was that really intimidating, thinking, gee, I'm just playing school kids, 17, 16, 17-year-olds, and then I'm going to play grown men?
Yeah, it's actually quite hard to think back that far, but yeah, it was. There was guys like Tamati Ellison, because I think I'd spent a wee bit of time just training like sort of weekly with the Highlanders or something, as they sort of like try to integrate you.
Yep.
And that sort of thing. So I'd met a few of those guys through that, and Tamati was awesome for me. I remember, like, he was pretty helpful coming in and friendly. I think Bender might have been away with the All Blacks a lot that year. But yeah, it was. It was obviously a massive step up from everything else. I think I probably only played a handful of games that year. I think my first moment coming on was they kicked the ball long and Rene Ranger caught it. I was chasing probably like a minute to go, and I was like, well, this is shit. And I think he either stepped me or ran through me, whatever he did, but it was just, yeah. And I remember Brownie saying it's happened before.
Yeah, you're one of many.
Yeah.
You're one of many. Yeah, you're not the first, won't be the last. But from there, I guess, the next year you would have transitioned into club rugby, and I know that you ended up out at the Tyree Eels.
Yeah.
You're a proud Eel.
Proud Eel.
What about that place is so special? Because obviously a lot of Highlanders have come through the Tyree Club, and they speak so highly of it. And being out there myself, it's a brilliant club with brilliant people that are involved.
Yeah, so that year of Hayden Parker and stuff, so he was my brother's year, and they got a whole lot of players from Otago Boys out there that year. So I just always wanted to play with my brother, so it was always natural for me to go out there as well. And we took a few of our mates from Otago Boys out there, so it was just a cool little, everyone was friends, everyone was mates. And I guess the thing about Mosgiel, which is about 15, 20 minutes out of Dunedin, it's almost like its own wee little township. So all of a sudden, instead of being in Dunedin and you've got 8 or 9, 10 teams, whatever it is, you've got one team out in a wee little town and they all get behind it. And so it's quite a cool wee little community like that. Supporters can be good to us and bad to other teams, but yeah. We loved it. It's a good time.
And you won a few banners with them?
Won a few banners, yeah. Won a few, lost a few.
Some good memories.
Some good memories, yeah. I was still young, and I think that probably the stuff I look back on and the things I won when I was young, you probably don't quite realise it. You just see it as a chance to get boozed after the game and probably have another day on the booze, can get away with it.
But
it was pretty special looking back now.
Alongside your Otago footy,
yeah,
that progressed as it went along. But you had some pretty memorable games along the way. I want to touch on the three Shield wins that you had. The first one, can you sort of talk us through that experience?
Yeah, the first one was 2013, so it was my second year in there, and we went up to Hamilton, and I think that one's probably the most memorable one, probably because it was the first one, but we hadn't won it in 56 or 57 years or something as Otago, so I was 19, I had really probably no idea about, you know, I remember them losing to Southland a couple of times when they were close and sort of as I was growing up, but nothing too serious, so went up there, we got the result there. I remember Causey played really well. Won it, sort of obviously had a massive night because, again, all you probably cared about is, oh my God, you won a Shield, you can have some beers, and enjoyed it and sort of into that. And it probably wasn't once I got back into the, we flew into the airport and there was a massive group waiting at the airport, I guess. And then sort of they did a sort of tour around. But it was just all the probably older folk in Otago and in Dunedin and in central Otago that hadn't seen that in 56 years but had been following Otago so proudly, how much it actually meant to them. Even like my grandparents and stuff who were like, you know, hadn't had any of that experience and seeing how much it meant to them was so cool. I remember, we had that week leading up to that defence game probably wasn't our best prep we've ever had but it was a real cool experience, that first one.
And then obviously losing it to, was it Hawke's Bay, wasn't
Hawke's
it?
Bay, yeah, that still sits pretty tough.
A bit of a 50-50
decision. It was something like that. I think he came out on the radio and said he was trying to give away a penalty because he thought they were down.
That was Ben Franks.
Yeah, as the rumours. So, well, it's one of those things. It's going to be held on to Otago regardless, so you may as well play off it.
And the next one, that came against, was that?
That was Waikato.
Waikato again, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so similar sort of game. But, that was a few years later. I actually probably enjoyed that one a bit more because I was a bit older and I was captain of that one. Yeah. I was actually filling captain because I think Simo was injured, unfortunately. So managed to lift it. But I think the coolest thing for that for me was sort of you're older, you realise how cool it is and you see all these guys younger be able to experience it. And then when you can sort of, you'll be the same sort of as you're on your twilighty career, you actually realise that it's quite cool. Whereas you're in the moment and you're young, you don't realise it until you get a bit older. And I think the third one we won against Naki, and it wasn't that long after we'd lost it or won it before because we defended it for a wee while. So it hadn't had that big drought. It probably didn't like have that same like feeling that way. But it was so cool for me because I had a mate, Charles Elton, who had battled away at club rugby for ages. And then he'd got a crack at Otago, 100% been good enough for ages, but just hadn't been given a crack. Got a crack, he was starting, we won it off Tay, but that was another one, even better. But to see, like, I remember me, Slade and him were just mucking around New Plymouth, like, late at night, like, had the shield out, running in forklifts and stuff, just having fun like that. And to see a guy like him or, like, players that had come in and sort of be able to be and part of, like, such a cool part of New Zealand rugby is pretty special.
While you're in Otago, like the Otago side, you sort of never got any opportunities to go to that next level of Super Rugby till a little bit later. So you shot over to Wales?
Yeah.
To Scarlets, wasn't
Scarlets,
it?
Scarlets, yeah. So
how was that experience?
It was good, yeah, you're right. So Super Rugby was always a big goal. That was probably like the main goal, I guess, at the time.
You've been in and around the squad? I'd sort of been in and around the squad, I guess.
But I don't think I'd been playing good enough rugby to warrant getting picked. Like, I think if I was to get picked, it would be on, oh, he's young, he's got a bit of potential, he would have got picked. So in that case, I don't think I deserve to. And I was playing a bit of midfield, and I hadn't quite probably worked out my game as such. And then played a wee bit of fullback. I think Corey Brown put me back there, and I enjoyed it. And then I went overseas and played with Scarlets for 9 months or so, and that was the first time I was sort of in an environment for 9 months playing rugby constantly. And I played fullback, and there was a couple of really good specialist coaches that taught me a lot about positioning and sort of that sort of stuff. So yeah, for me to have that time in the saddle and then come back was massive.
And then come back, obviously play well for Otago again. And then get
So played it.
The Blues.
Yeah, played it fullback for Otago.
Played it fullback, didn't you?
Yeah, and that was that. Yeah, that was working at that stage. And then I was actually going to shoot back. There was a chance to stay overseas when I was at Scarlets, and I was sort of like, well, I hadn't played Super Rugby yet, and that was obviously a goal. And then I was like, if I stay here now, I'm probably here for good, right? Or for a long time anyway. And if I sort of have a regret that I didn't come back and, you know, achieve what I wanted to achieve, I'd sort of be holding on to that for a long time. So decided to come back and give another crack. I was close to going overseas again that second year because nothing was sort of happening. And then, don't know how it happened, but yeah, Tana gave me a call with about an hour left on this other deadline and was like, hey, I sort of want you to come up. I remember him saying, like, what are you sort of good at sort of thing, or what are your sort of traits? And I was like, oh, look, like, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm a distributor. I'm not like, I'm not going to break the game open sort of thing. So I got plenty of them, like that's sort of what we're after. So I was like, in that case, the Blues was a perfect fit for me at that stage because I was playing 15. I wasn't the most, obviously, electric outside back. Like, I had other things to my game, I guess. I enjoy the control of it and that sort of thing. So for Tana to take a risk, I guess, and give me a shot, I'll be sort of always in debt to him. And then I guess the Blues was a fit because I was different to a lot of the players they had. Which worked at the time.
Yeah, and how did a Southern man, born and raised Southern man, fit into, you know, the Auckland lifestyle, the Blues way of doing things? Did you struggle?
No, I loved it, absolutely loved it. Yeah, I think the Blues get a bad rap. It's an easy out saying they've got a shit culture and it's always culture and all that stuff, but I didn't experience that once up here for 3 years. Yeah, sure, we had results that didn't work out and we played bad in moments and throwaway games, et cetera, et cetera. But I think for me, it was awesome because I had mates that were just finishing uni after 3 years, not eight, and they were just coming up here. So I sort of had mates that were just sort of not just in rugby, but also around Auckland. There's so much cool stuff around Auckland to do, whether it's beaches or we bought a wee boat, so we go out sailing, all that sort of stuff that you could sort of just do instead of in a big city.
How did you find Tana as a coach? Because obviously, it didn't it looked like a match made in heaven when he got appointed to the Blues job.
Yeah.
Started like it looked like it was going to be all roses, and then it sort of fell off the wagon again. How did you find him as a head coach?
Tana's awesome. Like, I've got a massive, massive respect for him. He's got an awesome connection with a lot of his players, and that sort of thing. I think when Rangi came in, although I was only there for a wee bit, Rangi brought a whole lot of minute detail and stuff into the thing, and I think him and Tana will work awesome together. Tana's got that whole connection with all the players and all the respect that way, and then he's got a good knowledge around the game, and then Rangi just adds that other detail. So I think, I guess the other thing with when I was at the Blues, the coaching setup was probably a bit disjointed, I'd say, would be fair, but it just didn't quite work for whatever reason. Like, they're all good coaches in their own right, but it just didn't work. So once I think they found out that coaching pattern and the way it all fits together, you've obviously seen a lot more success.
You then come back to the Highlanders, and you get offered an opportunity to come to your home side, your home franchise. How did that make you feel to finally sort of get that opportunity to play Super Rugby for your home team?
Yeah, no, it was special. I think if I look at probably growing up and stuff, I probably saw Otago as my home team rather than a super franchise. So for me, like, going to the Blues wasn't, you know, like leaving home sort of thing, because that's sort of, I guess, the way professional sport is. Like, I'd never play for another province other than Otago, but I'm open to playing, obviously, for different super things. So for playing the Highlanders, I think it was more about playing with some really good mates, like Tay was there, that sort of thing. So that was really special. And then once I sort of got in the environment, that was probably how much I realised that, it is special being part of that team.
You sort of became the guy, I guess, Mr. Fix-It, where you played 15, 12, 13, sort of all over the place. Have you got a preference and what your skill set sort of best suits now, you think? Because you sort of cemented that 13 spot in Trans-Tasman. That was you. You were the guy.
Yeah, I found that in the first year, definitely. I think I was still probably carrying half an injury as well. I stuffed my groins in the last year of Blues, and I was sort of like trying to run back, and I wasn't quite as free as I needed to be. I don't have a good running style in the best of times, so when you add in two stuffed groins, you're in real trouble. So, I think I probably found myself, again, probably trying to be in different spots. But I think once I just focused on 13 and sort of that sort of stuff, it came a lot, it came together a lot better. I think, the thing I probably find frustrating is I sort of at the back end of that, the first year campaign, like I was enjoying playing blah blah, and then you sort of like, I wasn't going to get contracted until they sort of said no to my agent, or Roger said no to my agent, and then about 3 weeks later put a string of games together, and then sort of Brownie came through and said we'll keep you sort of thing. So it's always been like a yo-yo, if you like, for better or worse. But I think so that's why I enjoyed, obviously wasn't playing too much at the start of this year either, but then managed to come in and have a crack at the end, which was really enjoyable.
Now the sort of the journey's come to the end in terms of your New Zealand footy career. You're heading back overseas to join Ospreys.
Back to the motherland. Yep.
Back to the motherland. So you talk me through that. So you are eligible to play for Wales, is that correct?
Yeah, so granddad's Welsh. He's born and bred there. But their mum was born in England.
Do you know
so that's how I get
the Welsh national anthem.
No. That's how I get the British passport. So it just makes you a local player. So same with everything. Like, I signed that in November last year, I think. So it's been there for ages. Yeah. But it just was a good opportunity for me. As I sort of said before, I've always sort of been sort of one-year deals in and out, and sort of like I always back myself to when given the chance to play well and play consistently. But as you know, there's always like a younger player that can probably offer more until it goes wrong, and then they sort of give you a crack. So yeah, for me it was just a really good opportunity. I think they're on the up as a team, and I just sort of want to go over there and play some good footy for a couple of years and see what happens.
The dream from here, you go to Wales, is it to try test your hand at international level?
So when I signed this, it was just completely to do with Ospreys. It had nothing to do with Wayne or Wales or anything like that. And that was my sole focus, and that's all I wanted my focus to be. I guess every competitive sports person wants to play at the top level to test themselves to get it. So look, I'm going to go over there, and if I play well and doors open, then you've got to be good enough to either walk through them or just see what happens and see what you sort of decide at the time. But for me, it's definitely about testing myself at the top level.
Well, we wish you all the best, Mike, from everyone down in the deep south. I know Wilson's Bay in the end of season news will probably be a little bit happy.
We're not allowed there anymore, so it's fine.
They'll be happy that you're not showing up now. But thank you for joining us on Playmakers, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Playmakers on Sky Sport. Stay tuned and check out Mike's favourite game, which was when the Highlanders took down the Crusaders at Orange Theory Stadium during Super Rugby Aotearoa. Cheers.